This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Salt, used for de-icing roads and driveways across much of the Northeast, is harmful to cars and infrastructure, but increasingly it's also polluting fresh water sources. Here to talk with us about the research being done on this is Phil Sexton, founder of WIT Advisors. That's a company that offers consultation and training for sustainable winter management. He's also the industry advisor for the Snow and Ice Management Association. Phil, it's nice to have you on the program today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure. And I have to say, I'm going to be thinking about trick-or-treating tonight with my kids a little differently after the last story you just covered.
I know. I'm trying to think about how we can have a spooky de-icing and salt and road contamination conversation. But maybe the spookiest part about it is that, you know, we want our roads to be bare. We want them to be practically dry all winter so that we can ride and drive on them. And yet, that means putting a lot of salt on the roadways. Can you just describe what the problem is when the salt gets from the roadway into the waterway? Why is that such a big deal?
Well, it's mainly the, if you think about the typical salt used, which is sodium chloride, it's really the chloride that is the big part of the problem. So it's described as a non-source point runoff. So as it, you know, as it, does its job on the roads, then eventually, like everything else, it needs to go somewhere. And so it's going down storm drains, it's going down curb lines, it's entering the soil primarily, it's entering streams, and in some cases, larger bodies of water. And at some point, it needs to land somewhere. And so unlike, you know, maybe some other contaminants, the chloride in rock salt or sodium chloride doesn't biodegrade over time. It doesn't neutralize itself. It's virtually impossible to remove, and so it remains constant in the water. And then over time, so if you think about it in terms of years or decades or multiple decades, it starts to accumulate over time. And so that's something that's been measured for many decades now. And so now on the research side, I'm not a scientist. I'm actually a snow and ice contractor by trade, actually, and it's something that became very aware to me as the practitioner side of the business.
Yeah, and in some cases, for example, the Winooski Natural Resources Conservation District says the EPA standard for salt in the water is that it shouldn't exceed 250 milligrams per liter. And in some of the streams in Chittenden County, it's double or triple that. And one of the interesting things is that, you know, we anticipate that this is going to be coming from roads and from the state highway. But what you've found is increasingly it also comes from other sources like parking lots and heavily congested areas, not just our rural roads. Why?
That's right. And so that's where I became most interested in this, is I saw some statistics from a research study that was done in the state of New Hampshire. There was a proposed expansion of the I-93 corridor there back in the early mid-2000s, and it essentially began to target, you know, freshwater bodies that were highly contaminated, well above the EPA standards. And so the EPA sort of addressed that at a state level to say, you know, the state DOT had a responsibility to come up with some sort of reduction strategy before it could allow expansion of that that highway system. And so then there was a research study that was conducted related to this that actually showed that the State Department of Transportation in New Hampshire, their use of road salt was less than actually 10% of where a lot of this non-source point runoff was coming from. And so it actually pointed to over half of the problem was originating from private parking lots and roadways. And so you start to sort of really think about in terms of square footage or acreage, you know, how many lane miles of roads exist versus how many more, you know, acres or square feet of parking lot exists. And so then that sort of pointed me to another study that had been done over the last three decades in Lake George, New York. This is an area of the country that my firm works very closely with to help them with salt reduction efforts. But their study showed that over the last three decades, chloride contamination in that beautiful lake had actually increased in some hot spots of the southern end of the lake by three times. And furthermore, when you compared chloride chloride levels in that lake with non-disturbed water sources or lakes and streams throughout the Adirondack region, it was 30 times higher. And so when you think about Lake George, New York, when they started measuring in the mid-1980s until now, there's actually never been one new road put into that region. But what you do have is an increase in hotels, restaurant, other hospitality, sort of resort living that requires more and more parking space. And so I think that's where we're going to continue to see the rise, both in, you know, the amount of those spaces that are continually to be developed, and also the rise in expectation by us as a society. So we tend to feel as if we should be able to go to work or go to school or go wherever we want to go every day at the same time every day without accounting for weather. And so the same thing holds true when you apply it to the parking lot setting.
So, Phil, I mean, what you're saying is part of it is on us. Maybe we need to have lower expectations, or an idea that in winter you might have to drive on snow or you might not be able to get out as early. But it's also then on the private contractors who are doing a lot of the work in these private spaces and the parking lots. And we've just got a minute left, but what should contractors be doing, but what should we be doing when we hire private contractors in terms of figuring out who's doing sustainable practicing?
Well, I think it really boils down to most of the industry right now is not behaving in a sense of, you know, measuring. So a lot of the industry is not really aware of what the best practices are as far as an application rate, what the best practices are in relation to what's the best way to apply it. They don't measure. So a lot of cases we'd be asking industry to follow a speed limit without a speedometer. And so that's essentially what's happening right now. So whereas the DOTs, they have a very sophisticated system of how to measure salt output. The private industry does not,
in general. So that's something that maybe needs to come down, and we need to be doing our research as we hire contractors to see if they're doing sustainable de-icing, basically.
Right, but I think even more so, though, their clients need to understand that seeing a lot of salt and feeling it crunch under their feet, that's too much salt as well. And so really the policy or the expectations are led by the clients or the end users. So many times contractors are simply following their expectations. So there's definitely a big part that society needs to play a role in this as far as their level of service expectation.
Well, it's a good point. We all need to look at our own activities and behaviors as well. Phil Sexton is the founder of WIT Advisors, which offers consultation and training for sustainable winter management certification. Phil, thank you so much for talking with us.
My pleasure. Thank you. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.